Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome into the GSMC Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Doherty. It is a Thursday here, and of course, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network, as always. All right, Thursday, we're going to be finishing off our week here on the GSMC Technology Podcast with some news from YouTube, Microsoft, Tesla, some stuff around the tech world. We'll probably get to that in the fourth segment, just bounce, as we usually do, kind of bounce around different smaller stories around the tech world. The big ones today I'll be getting to in the first three segments, as you see on the top. I kind of just easily spill it out for everybody on the title line. Just YouTube, Microsoft, Tesla, boom, boom, boom. A couple different things from Microsoft, Tesla as well with the self-driving cars and such. But we'll start with the big news from YouTube, as Google, their parent company, has announced that YouTube will be starting a streaming service for music, YouTube Music, and YouTube Premium, which was, I mean, honestly, this was kind of inevitable, I think, in my opinion, because, I mean, for people who don't use Spotify, people don't use Apple Music or iTunes for whatever, if they want to just go up, I mean, because there's a whole thing with the music. I mean, I don't know what percentage, you probably put a percentage on it, but people don't always listen to music that is released through a record label. A lot of people listen to mixtapes. A lot of people listen to EPs that aren't released through record label. Usually mixtapes. Mixtape is pretty much the catch-all term for it. But not everything, like I said, a lot of hip-hop, rap music is not released through record label. And a lot of our nation these days are listening to that, and they listen to it on YouTube. And whether they're not paying for it, obviously, it's all the ads take care of that. However, if you want to listen on Spotify, you're not going to be able to unless it's released through a record label, and that record label has to have a deal with Spotify, or that artist has to have a deal with Spotify, of course, to be able to stream their music on their server. Same thing with Apple Music as well. Looks like YouTube is going to be getting in on that slice of the pie. Google does want to try and do that for itself. So we're already seeing YouTube TV. We're already seeing YouTube Red. Different subscription services. Now it's going to be YouTube Premium, so it's going to be the same price as Spotify. Spotify's $9.99 a month, $10.99 a month, pretty much. I think it's like $13 if you want to do the family sharing, which is up to five people on your account at once. You could listen to different stuff, but on YouTube streaming service is going to be obviously for free. There's always going to be a free version with the ads. But if you don't want any ads, you can do it for $9.99 a month. And then also there's going to be YouTube Premium for different original video content without the ads. That's going to be $11.99 a month. So it looks like that whether YouTube is going to be going the way of Amazon and starting to create their own, actually, I mean, obviously there are definitely higher. There's plenty of people out there now. YouTube's been around for long enough where we have YouTubers and people who make their professions off of YouTube, whose profession is creating videos for YouTube. I mean, the ones that always come to my first to my head are Rhett and Link. This is a Good Mythical Morning. It's kind of a talk show they do, and they do various things on their channel. But these guys make a living off of it. That's what they do for their work. They have a full team. They have a full studio. They create very high end productions of whatever they want to do, whether it's silly stuff or not so silly stuff. They get celebrities on there. They had an episode with Post Malone. They've had an episode with Jack Black, to name just a couple. Think of somebody. They probably have had them on there because they're pretty popular and one of the most subscribed people or channels on YouTube, obviously making them pretty good money. They have different sponsors that they have worked to get and have that they plug on their show. They have different sponsors, obviously, that YouTube has arranged in order to have in front of their videos before the video plays. But definitely when it comes to those guys. Those are the two guys I think of right away, because they have definitely gone all in on the whole YouTube thing. And we'll see if they're going to either get in on the YouTube premium, or if they're going to get in on, they're going to stay with the usual monetization of their show. Obviously, they do have their own YouTube Red series as well, called the Buddy System as well. So they have multiple. They're well ingrained within YouTube's mantra, and they're weaving themselves into the YouTube fabric. And whether the YouTube Premium with the original content they'll kind of just shift over to that, or it's all going to be integrated into itself regarding whether they're going to get money from that $11.99 for people watching their original content that way, or getting it through the ad. So right now, they do have 13 million. I just want to tell you, they have 13 million subscribers on YouTube and more than 4 billion video views. So yeah, they have a bunch of different people as well on working with them on this show, the Good Mythical Morning Show, a comedy talk show. It's over 1,300 episodes, as well as they even have a full list of producers and executive producer as well, editors, everything. So whether it's through their, they have their own mythical entertainment company as well. So definitely, that's just a very high echelon, well read into and well worked through YouTube channel. That's kind of the higher echelon of something you could talk about. Definitely people that make their good amount of money. I mean, there's the Tyler Oakleys of the world. There's the Joe Suggs and the Jack and Finn Harry's of the world that make money off of just speaking to the camera. I know there's people who have been made famous off of YouTube, obviously. So it's pretty far reaching, and now they're finally getting into this, trying to get into this realm, obviously, with the music as well. I haven't even gotten into the whole music aspect of it. Like I talked about at the beginning, a lot of people just go on YouTube to find the music they want. It's the easiest on-demand music service that there is, because like on Pandora, you have to shuffle through and pray the Lord that you're going to get here. You think the song you want, because it's a radio, it's random. If you don't have Spotify Premium, you got to do the same thing on there, and you only get 3 skips, I think, on Spotify. So if you want free music on demand that you want to listen to, you just go on YouTube. You either get a 5-second skip, skip the ad for 5 seconds, or you watch the ad and you get your song. And even the whole Vevo, everybody has their Vevo account, which is high quality YouTube videos, whether it's a music video or just the audio only. So now YouTube obviously taking that aspect. Oh, hey, a lot of people listen to our music on our site. Some of the most subscribed to YouTube channels are like Rihanna, Vevo. I used to be One Direction. Vevo had millions of subscribers. Ariana Grande, all these top guys, Taylor Swift, all had. If you look at the top subscribed YouTube channels, a lot of them are these Vevo channels. I could tell you the top subscribed channels right now are not, because they took them away. They've taken out the whole YouTube Vevo kind of thing. They've taken it out of the rankings to put them in their own ranks. As people have been like, hey, why are people worrying about that? Why are people putting the YouTube Vevo into the rankings with actual real people who try and produce a good channel, which is true. So they took that out. But now YouTube Music, of course, run by Google, will become the number one most direct competitor that Google has able to create for Spotify. Obviously, they've come with a whole new mobile app. There's going to be a whole new desktop player, and YouTube Music will be its entire separate entity as well. So it's still kind of figuring out, obviously, what the YouTube Premium will be, whether they're going to actually come up with real TV shows with big actors and everything, or it's still going to be based off of the public created things, where you're taking channels like Rhett and like Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and have them do just their thing and putting it on this YouTube Premium. And they're going to take a select amount of highly viewed channels that you know, I know a lot of the highly viewed channels are these gaming channels, but actually content channels that do actual talk shows or comedy or creative things that are actually deemed, could be deemed actual television show, that will become, that will go over to YouTube Premium or just be part of the, be just integrated as a separate service. I know they have YouTube Red, but, this whole YouTube Premium thing is actually even more interesting in the fact that it's saying that they're going to be original video content, whether that's original from YouTubers or from actual producer YouTube putting money into productions, that are going to be like kind of like we see on Netflix or on Amazon Prime or on Hulu. So it's going to be interesting to see how they get into that as well. I mean, I wanted to talk about YouTube more because, I mean, it's just the fact, obviously, they're really making it a big deal. The fact that Google has acquired this company, I knew it was going to lead to more things. I'm surprised it actually took this long for it to come this far. Obviously, the whole music, it looks like with YouTube Premium, you get the ad-free music. You get the downloads, ad-free video, playing back, yeah, everything. So basically, YouTube Premium and YouTube Music are, you can do either one. You don't do both. You do either one. YouTube Music Premium, you just get the music with the downloads. So yeah, and that's also the one thing about YouTube is that if you don't have the Premium, it says listen in the background. I'm like, what does that mean? I just realized it means that. So if you listen to YouTube, I pull up YouTube right now on my phone or on my iPad or whatever, and on the YouTube app, and I listen to a song, I have to leave the app open. I can't close the app out and go to a different app. I have to leave the app open in order for the song to play. With this new service, obviously, with YouTube Premium, with YouTube Music Premium, actually the other one too. You can listen to the background. You also could download songs onto your phone as well. So that's a pretty cool thing. Kind of the same. That's basically the same thing with Spotify, but looks like that's a $9.99 YouTube Music Premium. But then YouTube Premium, just in general, take away the music. You get the music though for $2 more. Basically, you're going to get the music and you'll get ad free YouTube videos, downloads, and then all the YouTube originals, which I guess are going to be what they're going to be. They're going to be actual, if YouTube originals are going to be what I think they are, we're going to actually see some actual television shows. So yeah, so it says Google promises, this is a quote from The Verge, when they announced this, Google promises it will expand the originals section with more bigger original series and movies, including comedies, dramas, reality series, and action adventure shows from all over the world. So, yeah, it says UK, Germany, France, Mexico, other countries. So, yeah, look, that's pretty interesting. Yeah, they're going to be getting into this whole Hulu. I mean, that's not surprising. They have the money for it. I mean, they're backed by, when you're backed by Google, Google's your parent company. You have the money to put it into production companies. I mean, productions, in the sense of Google and their market share and their market cap and everything, producing a movie is nothing. it's pretty cheap for them. Maybe not like an Avengers Infinity War is $100 million, $200 million movie, but a little production regarding like a TV show or reality series or what have you is very affordable for them to get towards. So it's, pretty cool now that I get to report on the fact that we're seeing a lot of different stuff, as now we're actually going to have this service roll out across the world, as well as Austria, Canada, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Norway, Russia, Spain, Sweden, and the United Kingdom will all have this being rolled out for them as well. Obviously, YouTube is definitely a multinational company and is used around the world for various different things. YouTube videos are very cool. So obviously, seeing the creativeness from around our world is quite fascinating, and now it's going to be expanded even further. I don't know if this is going to be, we are definitely, I don't know, this is the first time we're seeing an actual shift away from user content, like, you know, just normal people content. Obviously, we've created our own kind of secondary celebrity, a second type of celebrity through YouTuber. The whole word YouTuber is a thing. The fact that there's a YouTube celebrity, people making millions of dollars off of YouTube, It's great. But now we're kind of, are we getting away from that? Are we really going back towards, you know, we're going to get the professionals in on this. We're going to get real production companies, real actors, or create real series with real producers and everything, instead of Liza Koshy sitting in her room with the camera pointed at her and getting millions of views on for her latest video. So, for those, look up Liza Koshy and see how much money that lady, that very smart girl has made off of her comedy talents and off of YouTube. So just saying about that, it's very interesting. All right, we'll come back with the next segment. There's some news from Microsoft and Xbox, also regarding their new controller for the I don't want to say disabled users, but whether it's the certain people with different impairments, they have a thing for you. So keep tuned. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the messages with some news about Microsoft.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
All right, welcome back, GSMC Technology Podcast, as we have some really cool news out of Microsoft and their Xbox and Xbox, obviously Microsoft's gaming console, as Microsoft has a lab called the Microsoft Inclusive Technologies Lab, Microsoft Inclusive Technologies Lab, where they're actually creating more ways for everybody to get involved in gaming. And I know there are people out there who can't quite hit all the 19 buttons that are on a traditional Xbox controller. They don't have the physical capabilities to do that. So it looks like the Xbox is getting everything figured out in order to get those people back on their servers and using their gaming and being more inclusive. Obviously, it's all about the inclusive technology. So they are releasing a adaptive controller that can be used for Xbox One consoles, and was definitely a brainchild of Brian Johnson and Evelyn Thomas, both people. Brian Johnson is the co-founder of the Microsoft Inclusive Technologies Lab, and his partner Evelyn Thomas were part of the team that helped develop this. And what it is, it's a controller that only has two big buttons. You can create your own custom solutions and ways these buttons work. So basically, it's all adaptive. So depending on the game you play, you can make it so where if you're only pressing two buttons anyways, or three buttons or whatever, you have these two big buttons in the middle with obviously you still have your D-pad, which is the little cross up, down, side to side kind of thing, with this way, so creating their own ways to get through these games. So it's kind of cool as far as the fact that they're two big circles. I might have to throw a link up to this to see a picture in the show notes, but it is pretty interesting how the fact where you in this controller you don't really need to you don't have to have your thumb, you don't have to use your thumbs, fingers, you don't have to move your arms really much at all, or have good motor control as well to use this, is because it's a way where they have basically turned 19 buttons into three. I mean, you can say that D-pad technically is four buttons because it goes in four different directions, and then you have the two big circles over there to the right, big ones, and they look like they toggle in different ways as well, so you can kind of move it around. And this is definitely a controller that's going to help people with limited mobility get in on the game. So Brian Johnson was quoted a few times here as he wants to get this going. Obviously, we have pictures of people coming in and testing it. There's a man who was testing this, who was out without his fingers on one hand, was coming in and kind of using it, and you gotta figure it out for your own self, because that's how this controller was built. Johnson was quoted in saying, "The lab itself, we bring people in and explore all types of disabilities." So they're obviously trying to figure out a way to not only help those who various disabilities, not just those who have lost limbs, those who are lacking mobility, whether it's motor skills or not. It's trying to get everybody as possible to get in on the gaming wave of new games and such. Obviously want to be as inclusive as possible. Definitely a prototype, and kind of getting it out there is going to be the next challenge of a way to release this Xbox adaptive controller. Definitely making these games more accessible as Microsoft moves into this realm where you have players who might be in a wheelchair or not. Obviously we see a lot of different people. They have I'll have to link this because it's a pretty interesting interview with the co-founder of this lab, and what they were able to create is pretty phenomenal. Getting people even in wheelchairs and with lower cognitive ability in order to play these games, because they're using only two or three buttons, and it looks pretty cool too. It's definitely an elegance to it, to this controller, and the fact that there's so many different things you can do on it as well. It's pretty interesting. Obviously these two little buttons must have, they have a lot of different capabilities of it. So obviously they're getting the design, they got the design down, so now it's about production and getting it out there, seeing how they're going to really being release it. Obviously there's a new with the new CEO. I mean, Johnson did note that the new CEO of Microsoft, that's Satya Nadella, definitely passionate and interested in accessibility. Accessibility is the driver, and is definitely it's a business at the core. I don't want to be like poaching or mean about it, but when you make things more available to people, there's a whole population out there of people who are impaired in certain ways. And if you're making things easier for them, they're definitely going to like that and be more eager to purchase your product, which is good for a company. But also it looks really good, and it makes you feel good for to be able to help people get involved in ways they haven't been in the past. So, I mean, that's the bigger picture here idea, as there is a note from Johnson here that they actually even hacked in, as the Xbox hardware had to be obviously changed and manipulated a certain way to get this controller to work for people as well. So Johnson also noted that there was a notion about 80-20 is that 80% of the people who can do the design, what about the rest of the 20%? Basically, you have to look back and think about what we can do for the 20% of people who need this to work better for them. Obviously, you're getting the 80%. Why not go for the whole 100% and get that? Don't leave anybody behind. Don't leave anybody behind kind of a notion. And he is quoted in the fact that he says, "How do we make this thing that we just built for the 20% work better for everyone?" So also they want to be able to see if, I mean, not only the people with who need this kind of controller, but for people who might be getting there after using the more complicated traditional controller. I mean, that thing, yeah. I use the Xbox controller. I didn't realize there was 19 buttons on it. 19 buttons. I'm thinking about it, is there really 19 buttons? Oh, I can go count when I get home. But that's just interesting. That's really interesting. That's really cool seeing a gaming company getting in on this. And obviously, when you have new direction, you have new CEO who is interested in this, you're going to get people involved, and you're going to get people in position like Brian Johnson, who will take this and run with it. If you give him a lab, you let him co-found this inclusive technologies lab, you're going to see probably a bunch of different new products from Microsoft that are going to be helping those who are visually impaired. I know in the future, I'm going to definitely do a whole segment on services. I know Apple has completely made their accessibility services free. I think Microsoft, you do have to pay for certain things in order to get things more accessibility, whether it's for hearing impaired, blind, visually impaired, or speaking impaired people. So I'm going to get more into that and probably do a whole show on that in the future here for sure, as I do have family members who, my grandmother is visually impaired, and she has been like, Tom, you need to get in on, you need to do a whole show on this. You need to learn, you need to tell people how to be, how they can help themselves. And there's tools and things out there for people to help them, overcome their impairments and definitely make their lives easier. I'm like, that's great. I mean, my grandma, obviously, gotta love her, and she's been a big help for me into learning how this stuff is evolving and is helping people all over the place. All right, there's some more Microsoft stuff as I come to the about 4 minutes left here in this segment. I want to get to with Microsoft regarding the Surface and the fact that they are going to be creating a Surface Hub digital whiteboard. It's set to launch in 2019. It's going to be a 4K resolution, a 55-inch multi-touch display. It's going to be having different cameras all around it to rotate to get with devices. It's going to be basically for presentation tools kind of thing, or whether you see these big smart hubs in hotel lobbies or in business park lobbies and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. But it looks like that they're going to be getting into this new design as the Surface Hub 2 obviously will be available with individual screens and rolling stands in order to be moved around different spaces as well. So it's going to be kind of cool. But definitely puts collaboration at the forefront as we're trying to get people. As obviously, when you're working in a team, it's tough working in a team when you're all looking at your own screen, when you have things up on a board, whether it's going to be, obviously you're going to connect, you can connect it to your Surface tablet or what have you. The little presentation they have here is pretty cool. As I, in my notes, I'm like, oh, this is pretty interesting. What they're doing here is they're getting this whiteboard now. It's going to be also being used around. I'm like, oh yeah, it's just going to be in lobbies or something. No, people are putting it in their workspaces, in their businesses. It's going to be in use at 5,000 businesses, but definitely have to keep kind of revamping it if they're going to get this customer. If they're going to keep having demand over a long haul, except being kind of, you know, company, there's companies who are like, oh, one time buy kind of thing, they're okay with it. Obviously Samsung, Microsoft, not really in that realm. They're always coming out with a new thing. They'll give you the time, like with the Xbox, they wait a few years before they want you to buy the next console. But one time buy kind of thing, they have to figure out. Obviously now they're coming out with another edition of this massive Surface Hub kind of thing. They're basically for vertical TV screens that are going to be used for touch tablets. It can be used for touch tablets, and they have different ways to rotate with devices as well. So it's pretty cool that everything is all high techy and state of the art these days. So you can't knock Microsoft as they're coming out with these new Surface Hubs for businesses. They are as well coming out with a new Surface tablet to compete with the new iPad. Obviously I didn't the iPads will be coming out at the end of the year as they usually do, but I did report earlier that not earlier the show but earlier this month I think or last month that Apple will be releasing a cheaper iPad that's going to be geared towards students and towards helping our education around the world around our country. So looks like the Microsoft is also going to be doing that as well, as they'll be releasing a low cost Surface to compete with the $329 iPad. The Surface will be probably around that price point as well, as they around $400 as well. So it's going to be still more expensive than the cheaper options from Apple, which is actually crazy saying that, because Apple usually is the most expensive one brand. But now it looks like that Apple is kind of deciding to, we got enough. We want to undercut a little bit here, and we'll see if the Surface will will sell just as much. Obviously, Apple is really going doubling down with the $329 iPad. So it looks like that Microsoft would be is going to be also debuting their cheaper Surface by the end of this year. All right. We're at the halfway point of the show today, and we're going to come back with some news from Tesla regarding their self-driving cars and Elon Musk's comments. So we'll do that after the break, right after we come back. So stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Technology Podcast, segment number three today on a Thursday, as we'll bring you some news now regarding the self-driving cars phenomena. I know that there has been a lot of hubbub about the fact that Tesla is always the car that gets in the news. Tesla's the company that always gets in the news. I know we had another crash in Utah this month, where a lady who was driving in Utah was using the semi-autonomous self-driving feature that Tesla has. The Tesla's autopilot is semi-autonomous, but yeah, definitely interesting. This they did hit a stopped fire truck that was in Utah, and it was at 60 miles an hour. That's the second time a Tesla car has hit a stop fire truck. Happened in January in Southern California. And then also we also had the fatal crash that happened in Mountain View. I did talk about that, I think, a few weeks ago. But this is a different kind of conversation. I know that Tesla, they're obviously not the only company getting into the self-driving car phenomena. We have, obviously, Waymo is getting in there. That's the Alphabet's. Alphabet is the Google's parent. Remember Alphabet? If I talk about Alphabet, it's Google, really. And Waymo is their subsidiary. There's also Ford and Volvo are both getting into it. I know that Cadillac has released released a feature on their cars called the Super Cruise. And then Nissan has a ProPilot as well. I even know that my dad drives a Hyundai Genesis, and that thing, I mean, it's not self-driving, but if you are in cruise control on the freeway, it has sensors on the front of the car where if you push a button, it won't let you get a certain distance from the car. It won't let you get as close to the car. I mean, you can set it to where 2 car lengths, 3 car lengths, 4 car lengths away from the car in front of you, and it will slow the car down for you if you're in cruise control, so you don't have to put your foot on the gas or brake at all if you're in cruise control. But it doesn't steer for you, of course. You got to steer, so that's why it's even more semi-autonomous as well. This is an example. The fact that we haven't had any of the cruise Super Cruise from Cadillac or the ProPilot stuff get in the news, they haven't had a crash. They are newer. They haven't been around as long. So why? I mean, that's a definitely a reason why you could point at Tesla. I'm like, okay, yeah, it's been around longer. It's more. It's on the news more. It's definitely gonna get more attention because of the fact that it's such a. I wouldn't call Tesla a new company. But they're definitely a company that's trying to change a lot of things, not only with their doing the electric cars like nobody else has done before when it's just electric cars. I know we have all these other car companies are doing electric, but they're doing it in conjunction with their gas-powered vehicles as well. So like you have the Nissan Leaf, you have the BMW, I forgot what theirs is called. It's the i-something. BMW has one, Nissan Leaf, Chevy Volt, which actually I think is both. And then you have the Hyundai Ioniq, which is both as well. So definitely a lot of different things to take into account here. But with Tesla, they get a lot of criticism because of the fact that they are really pushing it. Elon Musk and his spokesman have come out and said that, this is going to save 40% of, this is going to cut down fatalities by 40%. It's not the NTSB, it's the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, has come out and said that, not that high. We've looked further into these numbers, and it's not that high. It's not going to save. It's not going to be that much of a better percentage. Obviously, we're trying to really get into this and really look at the brass tacks of whether this is going to hurt or help or hurt or not. I know that Elon Musk has had his comments about it coming out against articles being written about the unsafe factor or how unsafe his cars are. He's even been quoted in saying that it's incredibly irresponsible of any journalist with integrity to write an article that would lead people to believe that autonomy is less safe. He said that when he was on an earnings call earlier this month, that was quoted in a Wired.com article about this issue. Elon Musk definitely has been afraid of the fact that, people might think that the autonomy is too hands off. People might think that people might turn it off and then die because they can't drive. I don't know what kind of comments these are. People have been driving. I know people also die behind the wheel. We have had a big influx in the fact that alcohol related incidents are out there and very prevalent, which is unfortunate, of course. But the fact that you're saying that it's going to reduce crashes by 40%, and then the NHTSA comes out and said, it's not that much. It's not going to be 40%, maybe 20% or 15%. Obviously, it's still a cool idea. We've always been promised in our future movies that we're going to be just riding along. We just be autopilot for everything. We're just going to be on little tracks going around everywhere. I've seen ways that simulations of how cars are going to look when everything's autopiloted, and there's not going to be any traffic lights. Cars are just going to mechanically pass each other and miss, and we're all going to never stop and go through intersections at a certain way, which is all pre-calculated, and nobody will crash. It'll look like we're going to crash, but nobody will crash, actually. But we've already had it. Everything has to work its kinks out and everything. But the fact that Tesla always gets the bad blunt of it is unfortunate, maybe because they are what happens when you lead the way. And as I know, Uber has also been a company that's getting into the whole self-driving thing as they look to eliminate. Uber, they kill the taxi cab industry, get all these people, they go off this whole side hustle, getting drivers involved in their business, trying to get people to drive for Uber. And then, we're also developing a way to eliminate you too. People are going to drive, get in cars that are driven by themselves. It's been quite interesting as well as, obviously, there's going to be people coming out and saying that Elon Musk is right. They're trying to defend him as well. I know there was a engineer coming out saying that, the crashes will probably be less with the self-driving cars than more, because people who, self-driving, a computer can't get drunk. A computer won't be visually impaired. A computer can't be inebriated anyway. The fact that we've had 3 crashes in 4 months already. Obviously, it's a lot less than normal with people who just drive by themselves, probably 3 crashes every hour around in California or wherever. This is obviously, one of them was in Utah. So if you want to think about different states as well, you could think about more crashes every hour. But it's still the point is that, it's still a baby. It's still a developmental technology that we're getting into here. It's still something that we don't really know all about quite yet. Obviously Elon Musk is really, it's his baby, and as much as Elon Musk wants to get to space, Elon Musk also wants to build a self-driving car that is safe and will keep people from
if I'm doing things behind the wheel that isn't crime. But we also have different things that have to get into this. He's not the only company getting into it. He's the only company that really gets the bad rap for it. But there's a lot of different companies that get into this. Obviously, there's lots of different research from different people, especially from the there's a whole Insurance Institute of Highway Safety. They had a representative in the same Wired article, say the first thing to keep in mind, while it seems like a straightforward problem to compare the safety of one type of vehicle to another, it's in fact a complicated process, of course, because you have to look at different features of their tech. I mean, when it comes to, obviously, you can look at the safety of a vehicle based off of the body type, how many airbags it has, all the technology when it comes to actually protecting you when you get in a crash. But the fact that now all these institutes, when it comes to vehicle research and things like that regarding all these different companies and their tech, not everybody's using the exact same kind of self-driving technology as everybody else. Tesla's using their own. Everybody patented it themselves. I'd assume. Of course, we're not sharing. This is a race, kind of. Whoever can do the best thing first is kind of what the deal is here, with Tesla, of course, thinking of being the front runner. We don't know, but there's definitely a lot of different things to look at, and there's a kind of a data gap. It creates a data gap because Tesla has a lot more data out there, and the fact that they've been doing this a lot longer versus companies like Cadillac, the Super Cruise, and everything. That are semi-autonomous. I know that a lot of different cars have the, now we're seeing all these commercials everywhere with tons of companies, whether it's Toyota, Honda, all the Chevrolet, Ford are getting into the self-braking technology where cars will brake themselves before you can get your foot on the brake and press it down. It has sensors on it versus, I mean, I think that we've gotten anything down pat yet, but I've driven that Hyundai Genesis before and it's very good at detecting things in front of it and braking itself, especially on the freeway when you're in that cruise control it's kind of, you know, that mode that where it does that for you. It's very good at it, but I mean, it can't turn by itself yet. I know there's cars that have the lane keep assist where it's if you start drifting out of a lane, it'll push you back into the other lane, or you have to have your blinker on before the wheel will lock up. I mean, that's keeping the wheel still. I mean, making full turns and knowing the right of way, being aware of pedestrians and everything. There's so many different variables when it comes to self-driving cars. Obviously, on the freeway, and then there's a difference between driving on the freeway and driving in the street. So, I mean, I'm going through I talked to my parents. I'm like, oh, my sister's learning how to drive her car. It's crazy. There's so many different variables. I remember when I got my license, so many different variables and things you have to think about when you're learning how to drive yourself and making sure that your head's always on a swivel. I mean, hopefully those cameras obviously are doing the same thing when they are driving you around themselves. There's lots of different things and things to take into account. Obviously, do they have enough data? The whole problem with the data is that do they have enough to make everything insurable? That's the problem here. This guy is from the Insurance Institute for driving. I mean, insurance agencies, auto insurance is a big deal, and the fact that they don't really, yeah. So it's Insurance Institute of Highway Safety. So the fact that there's all these different kinds of self-driving aspects, whether they're going to go full self-driving where the computer controls everything, or it's going to be, okay, the driver controls the wheel and the speed, but we'll keep them, we'll brake for them autonomously. If they don't brake in time, there's a obstruction, or we keep, like I said, the lane keep assist, or if it's going to be during cruise control where you have it control your speed for you. What is the deal here? How do you avoid crashes? How do we get the data in place to know what the percentage is and what the probability of crashes are before? That's pretty much what they're looking for as well. They don't have enough to draw conclusions that are statistically accurate and sound. Obviously, they do like the fact that there is not much death or injury involved in these crashes. I mean, there's been one. Which we've talked about, but they aren't able really to get the right reports and research involved when it comes to the fact that these cars have these features that are killing less people or getting less people injured as well. But of course, it's Tesla. Whenever something happens, it seems to be Tesla that gets in the news because, well, they've had the most issues as well, as we're finding out better ways to get from here to there, and it's going to require a lot more data and a lot more information. So just keep, I think you're just going to keep testing it, obviously, even if we're having these issues, you got to keep making it better and better and better. So that'll do it for this segment. Next segment, we're going to come back with a bunch of, we're kind of just going to do a grab bag segment. We're going to go through a bunch of different headlines and things that I liked that I saw today as I came in to the studio today, as we were looking to see, okay, what's going on, as I kind of try and wait, especially for this segment, trying to get as much new and updated content as possible for this last segment, as well as we trying to go as new and, like I said, most recent stuff possible. So we'll come back with that after the break, so stay tuned.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back, GSMC Technology Podcast, on a Thursday here. Last show of the week, as we'll come back next week with some more technology news for you. But of course, we will not finish the show without a little run through of what is going on in the tech world. I know we talked about Microsoft and their more accessible ways to use and play Xbox. We talked about Tesla and the self-driving car. We talked about the announcement of the YouTube Premium and YouTube Music. Obviously, we've already had some issues with it, as I'm now already seeing reports 15 minutes ago that the streaming and music, Google Music and video streaming is a mess. And the fact that obviously they have Google Play Music, but they also have Google YouTube Music that uses video and also includes music videos and footage from concerts. But I mean, the fact that there's so many different things. So I think there's YouTube TV, YouTube Red, YouTube Premium, YouTube Music Premium, and now obviously there's a Google Play Music. So I mean, it's just how many different things do you need, and how many come with what? So it looks like YouTube, if you subscribe to YouTube Red, you also comes with a free YouTube. Okay, so it comes with the Play. So it comes with the Play Music subscription with YouTube Red, but not YouTube Music. Yeah, it's kind of confusing. We're going to come back to that when it becomes more clear on what's going on here, because it looks like it's already having some issues. Fortnite's update is here. The patch notes are out for 4.2. I can link these into the show notes as well. We have the patch notes for 4.2 out, as they are being released. Obviously, everybody wants to know what's going on, how it's going to be changed. It's going to be available across all the platforms, PS4, Xbox One, PC, and mobile, as it will bring some new things to Save the World and to Battle Royale as well. So you know, we're having a new burst assault rifle has been as they have made some changes to the epic and legendary variants of that rifle and been added to Battle Royale. So I'll find the patch for it, the patch information, and the patch notes. Yeah, so it's on the Fortnite website, and I'll link that to the show notes as well. All right, continuing on here, as we have now had some leaks out of Google regarding the Pixel 3 design. I know they're releasing Pixel 2 and the Apple Watch, or the or 2 Plus and Apple Watch this year, as I'm now seeing some Pixel 3 pictures coming out. Obviously, Android P, we had some stuff regarding different developers and different ways that they were going to come out with the Pixel 3. We have had people come, I know lots of our journalists, tech journalists and writers have said, oh, they're just going to copy Apple. They're just going to copy Apple. Well, looking at these pictures, it looks like they're copying Apple. And we'll copy the X-Phone's iPhone X, and it looks like that they're not going to have the notch. It'll be kind of just a top bar instead of a top little notch. But it is all the way going up, and it's going to be having, looks like a smallest possible top bar as well, instead of the notch. You know, of course, the notch. But of course, that's the whole question. It's like, is the Android P mean? Does that mean it's going to get the notch? But it looks like that's the answer is no. Of course, no. And they can't go complete copycat. That wouldn't be very nice. All right, some more stuff as we're kind of just bouncing around through here, through this on a Thursday, this last one. I know we have some news from Waze now. For those who use the Apple CarPlay in your Ford, Waze is now available on your iOS device for Ford cars. So whether you're using it through the Sync 3, Ford Sync on your iPhone, you can now roll out Waze and put it right into your navigation system instead of having to use, obviously, I'm assuming they have a navigation system built into the car, but I mean, that kind of doesn't really, now that we have all this stuff linked to our phones, why even have that navigation system? It looks like they're just going to be taking in the Waze format and putting it onto the interface into the screen for them, for you Ford users out there, for your Ford owners. There is some big news coming out from Verizon and AT&T. So there's a phone that I don't know if anybody has heard about it, but there's a phone from Red, R-E-D. They have, it's called the Hydrogen One phone, and it is coming. It says Verizon and AT&T have deals with it to be carriers for this phone. It's going to be coming this summer. There's no real release date. They haven't released the release date yet, of course, or announced it, but they did allow last July with pre-orders. There was an early price tag of $1,200 for this phone, but it is supposed to be pretty groundbreaking. There's going to be a new display. I don't know. It's going to be called kind of a quasi four. It's calling a four view video format that will display kind of like a holographic 3D effect on the phone without glasses. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works. Obviously, I've seen little videos of it. It looks like it's just kind of like, you know, if you watch Star Wars and you saw them when they were in the Millennium Falcon and they touched the table and those monsters come up kind of like a space chessboard, and they kind of come up in that holographic 3D version. It looks kind of like that on the phone when it was kind of set face up, and they have different ways to do it. I know that we've seen phones try and go for the 3D Fire effect. I know Amazon has tried to do that. They had their Amazon Fire phone back in 2014 come out, and they tried to go with this 3D effect coming out of the top of the phone, but we'll see if Red and their Hydrogen One phone, which is going to be available, like I said, on AT&T and Verizon this summer, will be able to do that. All right, Apple has expanded its Everyone Can Code program to schools that support students who are deaf and blind. So we kind of are going along. I talked about these the things that Microsoft is doing for their customers that have impairments and are going to be doing the controller stuff. Now Apple has this this initiative called Everyone Can Code, and it's going to be going through schools that support students that are deaf and blind. So that's actually pretty interesting. It's going to be schools for the deaf and blind in California, Massachusetts, Texas, Florida, Illinois, and New York. And definitely we'll be probably received very well, as obviously there's talent all over the place and there are kids out there who can just do amazing, amazing things. And they, especially for those who have had hardships in their life, it's really, really, really amazing to see kids that have already had such obstacles in their young lives and been able to do such and create such amazing things and be able to get a company like Apple to work with them and to see, get them, teach them how to code. And obviously coding is the future. Being able to get certain things done. Obviously, we had Apple a press release come out from Apple saying that Apple collaborated with engineers, educators, and programmers from various accessibility communities to make everyone can code as accessible as possible, and will work in close coordination with schools to augment the curricula as needed. So, which is pretty cool. So, obviously, they're not just like, here, take this. They're going to be like, no, we're working on hands on with you, and we're going to be here if just in case there's any changes to be needed. For this program, obviously, like I said, I'll be doing a show probably sometime soon, whether it's next week or the week after, with a bunch of different things that you can use for those who are visually impaired, hearing impaired, or speaking impaired. Especially, all these companies are trying to get into this accessibility area. Obviously, there, like I said, my grandma has a lot of different tools that she uses. She goes to this Vista place. It's a office that kind of just gives you all these different tools and shows you different ways to get things done for those who have these impairments. I know Apple, like I said, has the whole accessibility thing, whether it's from just making easier text to voice controls, voice commands. Obviously, now we're getting into this new smart stuff where all this AI can even help it further. So I'll go into that when we do it. In a couple weeks from now as well. So there's going to be lots of different tools as far as tactile maps, definitely to when it comes to understanding different environments of coding, and for the non-visual learners, obviously you have to get something that is more of these hands-on, touching, feeling, kind of putting things together with their hands versus just seeing it being done in front of them. So you want to be able to have people who can definitely have people who definitely can work with these kids and get things obviously working with schools that are especially for this is pretty cool, as well as now we're it's going to be getting it coincides. Today is the Global Accessibility Awareness Day, and Apple will also be holding events at its locations around Cupertino, Austin, Cork, and London as well. So it's going to be pretty cool as Apple's kind of spreading the wealth here when it comes to obviously these days are important, and it's important to recognize all those hard workers out there that are getting that have to live with these impairments. Next up, we have a report out that Sony, they did promise that they had an update for headphones that would work with Google Assistant. Obviously, Google Assistant's update now is compatible with certain headphones, and it is rolling out as they did announce it at CES 2018. And it looks like that the update will be available for the Sony WH-1000XM2 and the W1-1000X headphones, and will be working with Google Assistant. You can just hold down a call button and talk to Google, whether you have Google Assistant or I don't think you have to have the phone or have the little thing set up. It's just going to be right through your headphones, and you can just talk to it and it'll tell you what you want to do. So it'll be kind of work. It'll give you notifications read out loud, and it'll be different push to talk, and we'll have iOS support as well. Kind of just like the Google Pixel Buds, same thing where you can have them talk to you through that. All right, that'll wrap it up for the show today, as we have gone through a bunch of different stuff in this last segment regarding whether it's accessibility stuff, the Apple's Coding for All, or Everyone Can Code initiative. I did go through a bunch of stuff regarding YouTube with being in the show, and YouTube Red, YouTube Music, YouTube Premium, what that gets you, how much it costs, and everything. I know it's kind of a lot to swallow everybody's trying to get into this music streaming service as Google will now compete directly with Spotify. We'll see if there's any more fallout from that, as I've already seen reports saying that it's kind of kind of a mess, and obviously there's a lot, almost too many things to buy, too many services out there. Google probably needs to start streamlining and narrowing it down what they want you actually to buy, instead of being confused like, okay, what does this get me, what does I have to do here, what do I want, and such that Microsoft, speaking of the World Global Accessibility Day, Microsoft has come out with a new new controller for meant to be accessible for those who can't use the full 19 button controller and need a more streamlined thing for motor skills, and it's definitely for the inclusiveness. Out of the Microsoft's Inclusiveness Lab, it's pretty cool stuff. And then also talked about Tesla and the self-driving car, and how Tesla kind of gets caught up, called in the carpet on it for it, whether it's just because they were the first company to do it, they had the most issues with it. And then also talked about the fact that there's a lot of data that needs to be gathered and churned through when it comes to self-driving cars in general and autonomous driving, whether it's semi or not or fully or whatever. And there's lots of different companies who are trying different things now as well. So we'll get into probably, if we're not done talking about self-driving cars, it's going to be a big topic for us as well all throughout this year, as I'll come back to it whenever there's a big something happens or there's a big report coming out of it or something is being released. So I'll be the first one to be the one to tell you about it. So make sure to tune in every Tuesdays and Thursdays for this GSMC technology podcast. Also, obviously, just subscribe to the podcast as well on your phones. It'll come up whenever you want. You can listen to it. That's the beauty of a podcast. You can listen to it whenever you want. It's not just Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's just when I come on here and gab to you guys for an hour and give you guys all of your technology news. So until next Tuesday, everybody enjoy the weekend, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.